Hello and welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I took take I blah, 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 blah. I have taken speaking in tongues. I have taken a week off to enjoy my holiday vacation, which went by really, really fast. And I've had a bad some badass luck with holidays lately. My last holiday, I had to go to the urgent care, well, actually the hospital, because I had an allergic reaction to something and had to get a shot. And this holiday, I came down with something I've never had before, gout. And it runs in my family. My dad has it, my brother has it, but it's never affected me. And I was hoping to skim by the whole issue with gout, 'cause it seemed extremely painful. And I guess it hit me finally. And it's usually from eating a lot of meat and drinking beer. And I don't usually drink beer, but guess what I did on the day after Friday? I went to a brew house, the Flicks Brew House in Albuquerque, and watched the latest Creed 2. And I drank a pint of beer, and then I drank a root beer, and I never even knew this existed, but it's a beer that has alcoholic content, only like 5.7%, but it's called like Not Your Dad's Root Beer, and it tastes like root beer, like it didn't leave like an alcoholic taste, which was ideal for me because I don't really like to drink beer. Never have, never been a fan of alcohol. Didn't even drink until I hit like 20, is it 22 or 23? Which is very unusual because all my friends in high school were drinking at high school level, like 16, 17. But I never did and never wanted to. And it wasn't until college when my friend Pierre said to loosen up and got me beer, and I still didn't like it. But now I have it occasionally. And with my father-in-law, we usually go to the brew house and have a beer and watch a movie, which is kind of a cool thing to do while Barb and her mom shop. And so that all happened. And I don't know if that's what caused it or what, but man, it's excruciating. It's basically uric acid forming in your like joints. But in my case, it was my big toe, which is a common place for gout. And your foot sort of swells like a pumpkin, and you can't walk. And it's so excruciating that like, let's say you go to bed at night and you put like a thin sheet over your foot. It feels the pressure of the thin sheet and causes excruciating pain. So you kind of have to keep your foot out of everything. It was very interesting, and then driving home was painful, but now I seem to be getting over it. I'm still not walking Harley for a mile and a half. I barely take her out back now and walk her for, I don't know, maybe 50 yards of a football field and then back. And I've been hobbling along, so I haven't listened to a lot of podcasts, but I did listen to Nerdy Legion, which is my favorite podcast with Nick Wetmore and Martin Ferretti. And it looks like Mr. Ferretti's gonna go into cricket farming. That's pretty fucking amazing. I've always been jealous of people that, decide to like change occupations and do and are successful at it. Because it's something that I'd like to do at some point. And I'm getting close to retirement, so I'm hoping that I can get to a certain age, retire, and then do something really weird that I want to do on my own terms, and it's enough money to pay for healthcare, because healthcare is goddamn expensive. Unless they fix something, it's ridiculous. Can't go to the urgent care without spending many hundreds of dollars. You can't go to the hospital without spending thousands of dollars, even if they only see you for 10 minutes. That's 3 grand right there. Bang! In the hospital, they're kind of dicks too. Those doctors are dicks. they're so arrogant, and they're like, "Why are you here?" You know, it's a fucked up situation. But anyway, I hope I don't get any more gout flare-ups. And I hear cherry juice helps a lot and citrus stuff. So as long as I put that into my diet, hopefully it will help stop building uric acid up. Because I don't want to get onto allopurinol, which is what my brother and dad are on because of gout. And that will help, but then you're on that kind of like cholesterol medication the rest of your life. It usually helps them, but I still think they could get gout flare-ups if they like drink beer or any of that stuff. My brother loves beer. My dad does, do, but he doesn't drink as much. I'm the black sheep of the family. Never liked alcohol, and probably never will. Never will acquire a taste for it. That was the holiday break. It was a good holiday up until like Friday night. And then we were supposed to drive home on Saturday, but my foot was so damn swollen, and the weather winds driving back were like at 65 miles an hour, which is very dangerous to drive a 6 hour trip because of rigs and stuff, high profile vehicles that they'll cause accidents. So we decided to stay an extra day, which caused me to cancel Geek Brunch Retrocast and also caused me to cancel a DC Spotlight with Kyle, where we're going to talk about Wildcats books and Booster Gold. I did get caught up on Wildcats while I was out. The Warren Ellis series is phenomenal, and it's pretty cool because they use a lot of the names like their alias. I mean, their actual names instead of like Swift, they'll call her by her name, and it's fun trying to spot like who's who, and it had like some of the Gen 13 kids' parents and how they were spliced with alien DNA and the conspiracies in this, and it's like the divisions of the Wildstorm universe are in turmoil and fighting each other, all this infighting, and it makes for a really good comic. And then I finished Michael Kray because that book wrapped up with 12, and that was interesting because Michael Kray was in this Wildstorm universe, there are DC characters. Okay, so when New 52 came along, they put the Wildstorm characters, Vertigo characters, everything into a DC proper universe. And I don't know if they're still there or not because I haven't seen them since Future's End, is the last time I remember seeing them. But this series doesn't seem to be in that world, in the New 52 Rebirth era. It seems to be on another world where other DC characters exist, like versions of Barry, Arthur Curry, Constantine, Wonder Woman, all these different characters, but they seem to be like analogs, like a flip side of them. So if they're good, if they're for justice in our universe, in the Wildstorm universe, they're usually criminals. So like Flash and Green Arrow are criminals, and Wonder Woman's a criminal. She wants Constantine to open up this void to with a machine that'll bring down the gods and destroy the world and all kinds of crazy shit. And Michael Kray is there, realizes he's fused with alien DNA and has powers, even though he doesn't use them a lot in this book. They do manifest themselves several times. And he's along in the Wildstorm conspiracy and mentioned in several places as well. So that was a lot of fun. I also read some Booster Gold, but we didn't get to talk about it, but we will talk about it as soon as we can get our act together and record an episode. So I didn't listen to a lot of podcasts. I didn't do a lot of reading. Believe it or not, when I'm in pain or sick, for some reason I do not want to read. Like my brain just it can't relax enough to like enjoy anything. It's almost like I want to sit there and watch something on TV, but something I don't care about. Like if it's something I care about, I don't want to be in pain because I can't like focus my attention on the program. But if it's something like that I don't really care about, then I'll be okay with watching it. And then I couldn't get comfortable, so it's like you can't lay down, I can't sit down, so it's you're constantly moving, trying to find a position where you don't feel excruciating pain. This wasn't quite up there when I got an infection in my gum line when I had my wisdom teeth pulled out. That was like so much pain that I couldn't do anything. Like I was crying like a bitch. I couldn't deal with anything. It was awful. And that I went to the emergency room for too. And I swear, once that I can't remember the antibiotic they gave me, but once it set, it actually just took like within a couple of hours, I started to feel better. When the antibiotic went in my system and just started annihilating that infection, it was incredible. This one, they gave me some anti-swelling stuff for gout and arthritis, and it seemed to really help. I'm still on it, but I don't really need the painkiller too much anymore. So that was pretty much all the reading I did. I would have liked to do more, and I've been reading at night a lot of. I'm getting my Marvel Unlimited's worth. I found a comic book, and I've mentioned this in previous, that I'm really enjoying on Marvel Unlimited, and I don't normally listen to Marvel Noise, but I happened to listen to one episode. It was when I was running out of podcasts, and they were talking about. I don't know if it was Marvel Unlimited, or they were talking about. The unbelievable Gwenpool. And I did own two physical copies because I decided to bundle everything in Marvel for like 2 months and get everything new. So I did get some books I don't normally get, which is, Deadpool, Gwenpool, which is a ridiculous name. But the book is so fun. Like I just find it really good, like nighttime reading, because it's like if you or I, a comic book fan, got stuck in the Marvel Universe and your power was you just knew everything about how comic books worked and how superheroes and villains worked. That was your power. And she seems to be pretty athletic and good with guns, so it wasn't like me. If I appeared there and fat ass me tried to do stuff, but it's a pretty cool concept. I really enjoyed it. And then I've also been keeping up on Titans. I started to fall behind on the TV shows. I was almost all caught up, but now I can't do the elliptical. The elliptical is how I get my exercise. Walking is how I listen to podcasts, so that's why I'm behind on podcasts. But I did get to circling back, I get to listen to a Nerdy Legion where Martin's talking about becoming a cricket farmer, which I found absolutely fascinating. And Nick wants to be a bee farmer, so because I've always told Barb that I want to get up at I usually get up at the crack of dawn anyway. I want to go work the farm. It's a weird thing that they're mentioning things like this, and it's something that I thought about because I've always been doing computer work my whole life. And I think it would be interesting for me to take a job if I could stay healthy to do some physical labor, which is an interesting way to go because you usually want to go the opposite direction. But as I get older, I don't know, things are changing a little bit. But anyway, they were talking about apps on the smartphone and, reducing them. And it got me to thinking, like, what apps do I still use? And in reality, the only apps I use is like the weather app because I always ask Siri what the weather is in the morning before I go for a walk. And it's just usually like 19 with wind chill, blah, blah, blah. But I still take Harley anyway. But not lately because of my foot. But I use that. I use Twitter, of course, but the way I use Twitter is probably a lot different. I only check it like 4 times a day. A lot of it is in the middle of the night or right before I go to bed, and or right when I get home initially, and I reply to people that at me, which isn't a lot of people. I don't usually get a lot of, me tagged in things. It's usually like 2 to 3 a day. So I usually look at those, and then I have a list of people that I follow. So, like, if you look at my Twitter account, let's see, my profile says it says that I follow 1,581 people. That's a lot of fucking people. But if I go into my list, and these are the people I really follow, I have a list, and it's called My Homies. And there's only 68 members that are in there. And that's kind of what I view every day, is like what my homies are posting. So, my Twitter stuff, I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter. And then, like, right before bed, sometimes I'll go into the global zone and I'll just scroll for 5, 10 minutes until I get kind of sleepy or decide to read something. And I'll find some interesting things and retweet them, but I don't really, like, read as much Twitter as I do. And then Facebook. What I found I like on it still is I enjoy going to AM Comics, where Aaron Myers sells his comics, and seeing what he's got for sale. I like doing that every day to see what he's posting, putting up. There's always some temptations for me. So that's one place I like to go. I still check the Valiant Comics fan page. I still enjoy seeing some optimistic people that are still in there posting about Valiant. I love the history thing that Facebook records in memories, because even though I don't participate in it now, which I'd like to do. It's absolutely fascinating to see what I was reading 10 years ago, because I used to post everything on Facebook. I really should keep doing it, because it's very entertaining to go through the memories and see what I was doing a year, 5 years, 9 years ago on Facebook. And that's what I like. So there's a handful of apps. I always have Netflix on there in case I want to watch something, but I never watch on my phone, so it's there, but it seems to sync up apps with my phone and my iPad. So usually I watch Netflix. The 4 apps I use on Net or Netflix, Comixology, Marvel Unlimited, DC Universe, and the Marvel app. Of those, I think I use DC Universe at least 2 to 3 hours a week, so I could watch Titans and maybe watch something else and read a comic or two. And then Marvel Unlimited, probably about 2 hours of reading some issues of my choice a week, which is pretty good. I use the Marvel one because I load all my codes. If I ever want to start reading current stuff, I can do that digitally in the middle of the night, without going to grab a physical copy, turning on the light, and waking up Barb. Although she could sleep through anything, I don't think she'd nowadays. But she only sleeps like a couple hours a night, and but she sleeps. When she sleeps, she sleeps. When I sleep, I'm like an increment sleeper. I'll sleep good, and then I'll wake up, and then I'll sleep good, and then I'll wake up. Yeah, I'm restless. If I slept like her, man, I think I'd feel really refreshed in the mornings. And she is definitely an optimal sleeper and has many more hours to do stuff 'cause she stays up so damn late. Whereas I pretty much pass out at 10. And we've been pretty much watching Fear the Walking Dead, getting caught up. And I think we're one episode from finishing or two episodes from finishing. And I've really enjoyed Fear the Walking Dead this season. I think it's past Walking Dead for me personally, and it has for the last two sessions. Even though they still have feel the need to record, film it out of order and then link it out of order, I don't like that. It gets old after a while. So that's about what's all going on, and I always enjoy listening to Nerdy Legion because you n never know where they're going off to, and I think I'm all caught up on Comics for Fun and Profit. So those are the two podcasts that I've kept caught up on. I've fallen behind in almost everything else. That one I like listening to 'cause it kind of gives you a forecast of what's coming out in the week. Even though I've already ordered everything they've gone over, it's nice to know if there's a cover B that I might have to go after 'cause I don't always order cover Bs or something like that. And I went to the shop and they were like, on Wednesday, and they were like, "We were worried about you." And I was like, "Why were they worried about me?" And I didn't really snap, but I forgot I didn't go to the shop last week, so they came back with my comics, and I get all the DC comics at the shop, and then DCVS I get everything else, and included some DC. Like I don't get my New Age of Heroes or things that I bundle on the site. But just all your DC proper, my DC Kids and my DC Vertigo and all Age of Heroes and stuff I get at DCBS, but pretty much everything else I get at the comic shop. So we're like, "Yeah, we were worried about you." And I was like, "Well, why are they worried about me?" But then I started going through my stack. I said, "It's pretty big." I said, "Why is Batman a detective out on the same week?" And then I was like, "Oh shit, I forgot I was not here last week to pick up my books." And luckily the guy reminded me, is like, "Hey, here's your previews," because I would have totally forgot. I lost all track of that this is the last week of November, and I already went through my previews, and there's a man, there's some good shit. Marvel's putting a lot of one shots out. It's very weird. But there's some interesting things they're doing. And the one thing I was really excited about was the team that brought us Avengers No Surrender is bringing us another Avengers Weekly for a short mini. So I'm really looking forward to that because that is the team that got me really excited about Avengers, and I love their strategy of w the way they put books out. Keeps me excited. Having said that, I'm going to go over some questions, like a lightning round of questions. And in order to do that, I need to go to the Twitter pages. I received a lot more questions than I thought I would. There is one other topic I want to talk about, but I'll wait. I'll go over some of these questions because a lot of them are not deep thought questions. They're kind of like fairly quick to answer questions. So I started asking for them last night, and good old Kirk, my War Comics friend, he says, "Looks like Joe Phillips' signature. It was on Supergirl. He loved all his art, blah blah blah," because he posted a piece of his art, and he asked if there's any other artists like Joe Phillips that Who are some of the creators you miss most seeing the regular work from? I have so many comics that creators aren't as important to me as a lot of other people, 'cause you'll have a lot of podcasters that they're like really good specialists on creators and stuff, and I'm not that. I'm more of like just a comics a guy that's passionate about comics in general, and I don't always like dwell in on who did the books or whatever. But Kirby is one of them, like that I miss, because especially his like DC, like that 70s style art that he did. That's where I really started to like his work, is in the when he switched over to DC, and some of his later Marvel work when he was on Cap and Fantastic Four, where things started to change. It wasn't early Fantastic Four, it was later his style started to change. I really dug it. So he's one creator I definitely miss a lot. Norm Breyfogle, phenomenal artist. My favorite Batman artist by far. He will be missed, and that poor guy, man. I think he had a lot more to give, but he had that stroke, and then he couldn't draw, and that was his livelihood, and then passed away, unfortunately. There's a lot of people passing away. You know, Stanley's enthusiasm I will miss for sure. He always was a person in the forefront of the comics industry. Dwayne McDuffie, I'll miss him. Joe Kubert, definitely a creator that I miss with his Hawkman stuff and his war comics. Those are the ones that come to mind, and there's probably a lot more creators that I could call out. But those are the ones that I'm on the top of my head, and probably if you asked me a week from now, I'd still say those names. There's probably some that I'm just not thinking of, but it's a spur of the moment question. I didn't have a lot of time to think of it. So, let's see what else Kirk has to ask for. He says, Michael Fife asked for underrated classics. What are some of yours? Underrated classics. Books that are underrated that people didn't like or didn't read. I would say Legion. Not of superheroes, that I think there's plenty of fans of Legion of superheroes, but Legion like 89, 90, 91, 92, which became Rebels. I think that's a really underrated book, and I think it's phenomenal. I think Secret Six, even though it's well received within the community, I don't think enough people read it, because I think if more people read it, it would have sold better numbers. I think it's an amazing book. Resurrection Man, I think that was underrated. Obviously, your Sergeant Rock. All your war comics, the Jonah Hex, they're always underrated because they don't sell to the superhero community. You know, people aren't interested in them, but they're phenomenal. Joe Kubert's Tarzan run, that was a good underrated book. Trying to think of Freedom Fighters, the Palmiotti and Gray. Oh God, that's the good stuff. But I'm biased. I love the Freedom Fighters. What else is underrated? There's probably a lot more, but that's what comes to mind. The Marvel side, I can't think of like underrated series because they always seem to sell fairly well. Lower tier books that don't sell well. I'd be interested to see about that Legion 89 stuff, because it did run for several years. I wonder. I wish there was more Necroscope books from Malibu, though. Those are underrated. Those are phenomenal. They were adaptations from the novels, and they're, oh my God, they're awesome. I think Valiant as a whole is underrated. I think the reading community is roughly in the 10,000s or less, and I think it belongs in the 50,000 for those characters, but I've always felt that way. I think all of the Valiant titles are underrated. I think the Aftershock books are underrated. They don't sell nearly as well as what I think they should sell. So you can go to like the publishers and just say the whole lines. Hard case crime books, I think they should sell a lot more than they do because they're just, man, they're so good. Vertigo, I think, should be back to where it was. I think it's getting there, but I think the sales numbers aren't getting there. And we're in a different world now, though. Yeah, that's a good question. Underrated books. Wildstorm, all the Warren Ellis Wilds, the Wildstorm that's currently coming out, very underrated, critically acclaimed, but not enough people are reading this stuff, and it's just really phenomenal stuff. I'd say the Ahoy Comics line is a real surprise, but not a lot of people are reading it. Way better than I thought they could ever do. I didn't expect them to be as good as they were. Zenoscope, I wish people would just give a better more try, 'cause they always just look at the covers and get turned off, but they don't read the content. And you can tell when people talk shit about Zenoscope, they don't know what they're talking about. And the people that have at least sampled it. But most of the people that talk shit never read it. They don't understand it. My wife even liked Grim Fairy Tales. I mean, she was reading Fables and Grim Fairy Tales, and even though one had different covers that might not, she loved the stories. The stories were great. Yeah. That's a good question. I can probably talk about that. It's so open-ended, you could just make an episode of it. Michael Fife, he does that Suicide Squad. I like to say rip-off because it is really stealing the characters and changing their names. From Bergen Press is I can't think of the title of it now. But I do ha own them all. I was shocked when I read the first volume and saw what I did, because I was like, "Holy crap, that's Deadshot, that's Boomerang." I mean, it's like one for one versions. I Shade the Changing Man. I mean, all of the ones that were in Suicide Squad are in his book. He did make a. See, he has a Bloodstrike thing from Image I haven't read yet. He's got a G.I. Joe book that's coming out. His style is very unique artistically, and he did write one of the Marvel Ultimate books, but I can't remember which one it was. It's slipping past me. So he asked a lot of underrated books. Ooh, Phantom Stranger, underrated. Holy crap, is Phantom New 52 Phantom Stranger is 5 out of 5. I mean, it's amazing. Totally underrated. One of the best books that DC, in my opinion, has ever published. That's definitely one. So much. He then says, "Do you love or hate all the variant covers?" Is he asking that about us? I think he's just talking about variant covers in general. It is a love-hate relationship. I love the idea that you could pick what you want on a lot of the publishers like DC or Dynamite for the same cost. The hate part of it is for Dynamite, I find so many covers that I like, and I don't like that because if it's up to me, I would buy every single Red Sonja cover. I just think they're amazing, but I try to limit it to two or three. So I do buy multiple covers of Red Sonja. I do love the Elvira covers. I usually get two or three. And one of them is always the cosplay. The same with Betty Page books. Deja Torres is another one that I just love the covers. The James Bond ones, I love the cover. So a lot of the Dynamites, I will double dip, if not triple dip on a variant cover. For DC, I tend to double dip on the Batman covers, the Detective covers, Justice League, just the Justice League proper. When I see a good Harlequin, I will get a cover B. Supergirl. If it's an Art Germ cover, I'll get a cover B. I used to get all of them, but it just got too ridiculously expensive. And then it takes up more space because for every comic you get, you have two. So I like love variants, but I kind of wish they were less. Because then I wouldn't have the temptation to buy multiple, especially when they're like I there's no problem if there's a 1 in 25 or a 1 in 50 or a 1 in 100 or a 1 in 500 or a 1 in 1,000, because I don't even buy them. I don't even look that way because it's elevated cost. It's not worth it to me, especially the way I collect. If I was going to collect it and then flip it, I might consider doing that stuff, but I don't do that stuff. And if I do flip it up in the terms of new comic books, it probably won't stay hot. So it'll probably be like 10 years from now, and nobody will give a shit about that book. So I don't ever look at those variants or the hard to find stuff, and I don't really care. If they show up for cover price, I might consider getting them if they're in a cheap bin down the road, but I'll never pay like the astronomical costs that some of these covers are running. Let's see what else we got. Has your comic buying increased or decreased through the years? Definitely increased. Ridiculously increased. If you consider my monthly buying and my back issue buying, it's the last 10 years have been heavy collecting, more so than the prior years. I was a little more practical prior to that, even though I was still getting like most of everything DC, most of Marvel. I didn't go nuts with Image or Aftershock. Now I'm getting all of it. So like, if you look at Image, and I buy 90. 80%, let's say 80% of Image. I buy 100% of Aftershock, 100% of Zenoscope, 100% of, well, let's say 90% of Dynamite. I don't get Game of Thrones and a couple others, but I get all of it. 100% Ahoy Comics, 100% Valiant, Titan, it's probably not that much. I probably get like 20% of their output. Vault and Scout 100%. So yeah, that's like a lot. And then I've been like do analysis on the database, and I see holes and I fill the holes and I complete runs and then I complete another run and complete. So I buy a lot of from mycomicshop.com. Increased by a long shot. Why doesn't anyone love Little Fat Spencer. Are you referring to yourself? I love you, so I'm someone, right? I think that is it for his questions. The next question is from Paul Tessenier, from Mike and Paul Save the Universe or something like that podcast. He was on the Valiant Central with Martin. I do listen to his podcast occasionally. It's one of those ones I'll queue up if I run out. Now I'll be but podcasts tend to slow down a little bit during the holidays, but if they don't slow down, I'll never be caught up again because of what I'm listening to. He says, "What is your favorite current X-Men book?" Well, Paul, for one thing, I'll tell you, I'm never current on it. Anything. And I'm current on Wildstorm now because I binged it, but I'm current on Mr. Miracle, Batman. Very few titles can I tell you I'm caught up on. So when I tell you an X-Men title, I'm just going to tell you what I personally have enjoyed. And it seemed like early on, I was enjoying X-Men Blue more than X-Men Gold. But as time went on, I found I really enjoyed X-Men Gold. So I would say X-Men Gold is my favorite title that I've recently caught up on. I haven't read any Astonishing or X-Men Red or Uncanny X-Men that just came out. So, I'm not current, so I'll just tell you what I read. If I was to pick my favorite, it was X-Men Gold, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit on this podcast because I got hooked on it. And I pretty much binged the whole series, I mean, well, a good portion of the series, in 2 weekends. One was a couple, half a year ago, and then the other one was just recently. And when I get binged, that means my mood isn't changing, which is very, very rare for me personally. So I just plowed through a bunch. So that's my answer to Paul. Kirk has another question. How many people would you kill for a revival of the original DC War Comics line plus Atari Force? I wouldn't kill anyone because I don't kill people. Not for comics anyway. Dudes on a Map posted a question. What's your favorite JSA run? He recently picked up the first volume of Geoff Johns' run, and he's really liking it. The JSA run is by far the best and the most fresh in my mind. I would say next to that, the JSA in the Justice League satellite eras that they'd have every year, those were good Justice Society team ups. And then those were some of my favorites. The series itself, before that, weren't all that great. But All-Star Squadron, which I don't consider it a JSA book, but it's kind of in that realm. It's pretty doggone spectacular if you can get your hands on All-Star Squadron. It's pretty amazing. Let's see what else. Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit says, "What's the most comics you read in a single day when you were really in the mood and grooving on comics?" He read 48 Walking Dead issues once and then passed out. I think during the holidays, well, most of my reading typically is on Saturday. And I think the most comics I've ever read on a Saturday was about 60. And it was a weekend Saturday that I think I was by myself. Barb was somewhere else, probably on a vacation away from me. And I was just sitting there and reading like over and over and over again, and plowed through about 60 books. So most of when I have a high number a week, it almost is one day, because let's say if I read on average, if I'm lucky, on a regular work week, let's say if I read like 5 books, 6 books during the week. Sometimes it's more than that, but it's very rare. That's only five, okay? And then on Saturday, so if I ever hit a 50 or 60 hour a week, the bulk of it is on Saturday. So it is kind of a one day thing. And then Sunday, maybe I'll read like 5 or 6 books. But Sunday has turned into comic book maintenance day, and that's how many comic books I'm getting a week, where I have to get them off the table. A matter of fact, the buildup through the holidays is pretty doggone big for this the table. You can't even see it, but I gotta clear it out. Wolf Warner says, how many people thought that Miss Robinson Good would be the villainous Red Cloud? I haven't read that far yet, and that's an Action Comics yet, so I don't know about that yet, but I'll let you know when I do finish it. And it doesn't let me look up that real quick, because the name doesn't even ring a bell. Red Cloud, DC Comics. Red Cloud. I'm just really curious to see. Oh, is she the... Is she the character that Bendis introduced? I think so. So. Images. Trying to see an image of her as her alias, but I'll let you know when I read it if it's impactful for me. It doesn't ring a bell. It's not like it's old Lois Lane is Red Cloud or something that would shock me, because I don't even know Robinson Good is. I think she was maybe introduced in Bendis's run, but prior to that, she wasn't anybody. So it doesn't surprise me. Let's see if I have any other questions. I think I have one more from Aaron Bell. If you could take one Marvel character and put them in the Justice League, who would it be? I think Black Panther would be interesting because he owns a whole nation. He's the lead ruler of a whole nation, and it's outside of the United States. So I think it'd be really interesting to put him in the Justice League. If I could go inverse, what character would you put from DC into the Avengers? Trying to think if there's any like characters that they have that would really be different, that would fit in with the Avengers. You could throw in Hawkman, but he's got that Namor personality. Think Superman, because I mean, we've had like characters like Superman. With Sentry, with the Squadron Supreme guy, what the hell is his name? Why am I losing it? But he was only in, what is that guy's name? Supreme? No, not Supreme. That's another Superman analog. Let me look real quick, because it's going to drive me crazy. Nighthawk and Squadron Supreme. And they did put Hyperion. Hyperion was in Rick Remender's. Was it Rick Remender? The Justice League. Jonathan Hickman, sorry. Jonathan Hickman's new Avengers and Avengers title. So, I've always found him so. I find Superman to be different than any characters. Like, you could say, oh, Thor is a god, but I don't know. He's just so different than Superman. So I would say Superman. Batman would also be interesting. But that's essentially the Squadron Supreme. That's what the Squadron Supreme is based on, is basically taking the Justice League, turning them into characters, and throwing them in the Marvel Universe. Just like the Extremists are based for the Justice League are based on Marvel villains like Dr. Octopus, Dr. Doom, Nightmare, you know, like a bunch of different characters. So it's pretty interesting. I think that's the last question. So I want to thank you all for putting up with my rambling for a while. And Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. I don't think it is. I think you could take Die Hard and change it to Halloween, or you could change it to another holiday, and it's the same movie. Whereas Christmas Vacation, it has to happen on Christmas. But that's just me. What else is happening in my world that I forgot to mention? Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to talk about. And I'll probably get into this more with when I talk to Kyle when he gets Mr. Miracle number 12. But when I first read Mr. Miracle 12, there's spoilers. Stop if you haven't read Mr. Miracle 12. Or plan on reading it, because this spoiler will not only ruin it for you, but it will potentially make you disappointed, or maybe I'll put it lower on the list so it'll elevate it for you. I don't know. But if you don't want to hear this about Tom King's Mr. Miracle, then you probably skip, let's say 10 minutes. Let's see if I'll talk about this a little bit. But when Mr. Miracle 12 came out, I was really anxious to read it, because me and Kyle covered Mr. Miracle. And one of the things I said was the ending will make or break the series for me. And I think on my initial read, it broke it. It broke the the impact of the series for me. And it came across as, like, really fucking pretentious, and I don't like that. But then I got to think about it, and the thing that makes it unique, at least in my eyes, and if you're a reviewer of Mr. Miracle, you can disagree or agree. The ending, there is no ending, okay? It's kind of left up to you, in my opinion. And I'm going to tell you how I interpreted it, okay? So this whole thing is very weird. Orion becomes the master of the new gods. He gets killed. Mr. Miracle has to inherit it. It goes over a lot of, like, Mr. Miracle tries to kill himself. Okay, so that's what, like, kicks off this whole thing. So you're like, why the fuck would He tried to kill himself, and it was very out of character for me. But it kind of makes sense because Batman slits his wrist. I guess Tom King thinks every character has to kill themselves. He's very systematic in that. But for me, that was a really big thing up front. I'm like, why would Scott kill himself? He's always been more of a optimistic type guy, and this was looking at a dark interpretation of him. But as I read the series, Oberon had died, some things happened. He has a kid with Barda, and that kid he almost has to trade to Darkseid to keep the peace, which is very unique because that's what happened with Orion and Scott. Scott was really from Highfather, and Scott was given to Darkseid, and Orion was the son of Darkseid and was given to New Genesis. So that theme played a part. And then there was the idea of these weird little sketches that I don't think ever resolved itself. Maybe somebody could tell me what it means, but there were like these blurry images of like this is really happening or this not really happening, like this like imagery of blurriness that would happen in the panels during some scenes. And I'm going to tell you the way I interpreted the series, and until somebody tells me otherwise, this is how I'm going to interpret the series. But it basically ends like you don't know what happened, if this is happening, really happening, or if it's in his mind, or if he's in a death trap, or whatever. And it's up to you to decide, and it's up to the future of other writers to determine if they use this or not. And that's what the pretentiousness about it is. It's kind of like, oh, this is a comic book, and you'll always exist, and Mr. Miracle can escape anything. He'll escape anything at any time if he wants to. And then we'll repeat the process. If you look at it from like a really high level, it's even insulting to comic writers to me, because it's saying you'll always repeat, you'll always escape, it'll always be the same. So the ending of this doesn't make a difference. That's how you could interpret it. One interpretation. That's how I chose not to interpret it, because then I would have really hated it. But it is a you can break down the Mr. Miracle series and say that's what he meant in your eyes, that the way the story is told, and it even has like Dan DiDio and the audience and stuff, and is like, okay, we're not going to tell you the ending, but we'll always let you know that Mr. Miracle will escape. Okay. Well, that could be one interpretation. My interpretation is, which you could hate, but in my mind, I like it because it makes sense. And my interpretation is that Dr. Bedlam or somebody is fucking with Scott this whole book, okay? And this has been my interpretation even went before I read 12. And it still can stick the landing if I interpret it this way. Dr. Bedlam has him in this device where he doesn't think he can escape from. So Bed, you know, they don't it could be Desaad, it could be anybody. Because that's what Kirby made it. He's in a bunch of death traps if you read the original Kirby stuff. And he's always been an escape artist, even when his series continued on in the 70s, 80s. Oh wow, Siri thinks I asked her a question. So whatever I did there, walking by my phone triggered her. But the way I interpret it is he's in this trap. Okay, in this trap, he tried to kill himself. Oberon's dead. He's not dead in my mind, but he is dead. He does have kids, okay, and he did become the god of New Genesis. And he did have to go through these ordeals to get there. But the way I think of this trap, and there's several clues I can point you to why I think it's this, is that one of the key lines is, well, I could escape anytime I want to. I think this world that he's in this trap is something that he wants to be in. Okay, so it's almost like he's a drug addict. Okay, so he's now married to Barda and has kids, and everything's copacetic. But he does have to deal with perils. But he always seems to defeat those. And in this world, he's happy. He has a family, and he's growing that family. And he chooses not to leave the death trap. Just like a drug addict or somebody that's happy in this own little world, and he says, "Well, I can leave at any time." But in my eyes, he's saying, "I can leave at any time, but I'm not. I choose not to leave now. I'm going to stay in this trap because I'm loving it here. You know, I have two kids. Barda's here. Everything, even though I have to still fight situations." Everything is where he wants it to be in terms of his family. And he's also in charge of New Genesis. That's how I interpreted it. And he says, well, I can escape anytime I want to. And then it can turn out to be anything you want it to be. That's my interpretation. I haven't really read other people's interpretations. But I have read some good reviews, but they didn't really describe how. I think I read two really like 5 out of 5 when it first came out reviews, and they were kind of horrible because they were kind of like kissing Tom King's ass, but not really say why, what made it special as an ending or a conclusion to the story. They kind of just. They probably had preview copies and got it for free, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this kisses ass." And but because they're actually like review sites that get copies. But yeah, I was disappointed because there's no conclusion, and to me, it's feel your own adventure kind of thing. And if it does mean the first thing, like. Well, I can escape anytime I want. Whatever trap, I don't know. And it's like talking to the comic reader at like a Deadpool level. I fucking hate it. So my mind tries to morph it into something that's acceptable to me in continuity. And that's what I came up with. So if I think about it like that, I gave the original reading. And I haven't read it a second time, but I gave it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. After I think about it, I could push it into the 4 out of 5 based on how I feel it should be. But I can't really do that because that's not factual. That's just what I'm doing, making it to make it a 4 out of 5. So I am going to keep it at a 3 out of 5. Say, and there's other people, I'm not going to say who mentioned it because I don't know who's going to listen to this, and they might be friends of yous, but they've texted me and said, "What the fuck is happening here? What the fuck is this?" And I tried to explain how I interpreted it, but I said, "It's really up to your interpretation how you take this." That's my opinion. And the way I'm a continuity buff, like, when I say that, it's because a lot of readers will say, "This comic doesn't matter." Not this Mr. Miracle, but in general, like, why should I have read this series? Because it doesn't matter to continuity anyway. Well, let me tell you something. To me, everything matters. Every comic matters, even the horrible shit that happens. Because to me, my mind tries to push these thing and morph it into continuity. So everything is in a continuity in my world. Okay, Mike's world, that's what happens. But I believe in miracles, and we'll see what happens because there's a Female Furies title that's coming out, and the writer said it's going to be totally independent of Tom King's thing. So, to me, so if nobody else takes that Tom King thread, it's a story that didn't matter, but to me it does matter because I'm interpreting it the way I am going to interpret it in continuity, and it does matter in the story, and I can fit that in because in my mind he can escape this trap at any time. But we will see. We'll see where what happens with it. If he gets a second series and Tom King is able to continue it, I will kind of be. It's kind of like him going to Batman 50 and saying, well, I'm not finishing the story, but I'm going to finish it at 100. So here's another 12 issues, and I'll try to conclude this story in issue 24. But I don't think that's the intent of it. And I don't think the numbers really drive a need to put out another Mr. Miracle series, but you never know. We'll see where it goes. I know it's critically acclaimed. Probably not in his vision realm about being critically acclaimed. But let me know what you think. I'm curious. I know Daryl Taylor loved it, but I wouldn't expect anything else from him because he'll love anything that Tom puts out. But anybody else that wants to chime in, that isn't friends with Tom King at a personal level, I'd like to know what you thought of the ending and how the ending panned out. Don't factor in the rest of this series though, 'cause I want to know how the ending panned for you, like how it ended, if that mattered to you. I'm real curious. So you can tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch. That's probably the best way to do it. Or send me an email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And if you do that, and I have permission to mention it on this podcast, please let me know because I'd be glad to. Having said that, we're gonna marshal through. Wow, it's already an hour. This is going to be a fast weekly reads here. But some of it's kind of pertinent. So I'm going to cover 3 weeks again. So the first week is going from September 3rd of 2018 to September 9th of 2018. We'll start at the bottom. There's a total of 18 comics, 17 Marvel, one Image for a total of 18. At the bottom, a 3 out of 5, we have Edge of Spider-Geddon number 2. This is Penny Parker is working with her aunt and uncle to stop Morbius. She gets help from the Venom armor, but it consumes her friend and Aunt May and kills them. So that was like a prelude to the current Spider-Geddon series. Talking about Penny Parker, who's going to be in the series. I think I read number 3 and liked it much more with Spider-Ben. So that rated a 3 out of 5. But we'll talk about Edge of Spider-Geddon soon on number 3. I haven't read number 4 yet. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have X-23 number 3. X-23 tries to find Gabby, and the Cuckoos have her. She calls Angel for help, and they crash into where the Cuckoos have her, but they pull a switch on the contraption, which is connected to Gabby and a dead Cuckoo. So you don't know what that's going to do, but if I remember correctly, they are trying to use Gabby as a means to bring back the other cuckoo, because there's 3 of them, and they want to bring back the other 2. So we then get into an Image book. It's the only Image book that week, and it's Bully Wars. This one, I really like this. It's Scotty Young with a different artist. It's so colorful and vibrant. It's the first day of high school, and the bully is getting a taste of his own medicine when the nerds decide to help him out. So it's like a bully that goes to middle school and finds he's at the bottom of the bully chain, and he needs help from the geeks that he's bullied. to try to establish a bully role in the new high school. A really fun comic. I really enjoyed it. We get X-Men: The Wedding Special, Peter's night on the town, bachelor party, and Kitty's bachelorette party. Why did I go here? I think originally why I went here is because I think it was Rob Krieger. And I can't remember if it was Retrocast, but I'm pretty sure we started talking about, Batman Catwoman wedding, and then the Kitty Colossus thing not happening, and it made me really interested in the story arc. So I basically powered through, 17 issues of X-Men Gold. X-Men Gold 17 through 29 annual. Well, I forgot to add those two. So there's actually more comics this week. Let's see. I need to add five more books to Marvel. So that would take me to 22. Five more there would take me to. There. So we had 23 books that week, not 17 or 18. Annual 1 and 2 and issues 31 through 33. I wonder why I skipped 30. Oh, 30 was a 5 out of 5. That's why. Okay, so that's that. So the 4 out of 5s were X-Men Gold 17 through 29, Annual 1 through 2, and 31 through 33, with X-Men Gold 30 being the 5 out of 5. But it's the aftermath of the wedding, and Peter's going to leave for Russia after what happened. Rachel freaks out when Mastermind takes over. She takes over her, and in an alternate reality, she kills Kitty and Kurt, a Nightcrawler. There's a glimpse of Storm with Stormbreaker, which is the a hammer from like Mjolnir's. Later, Orno's mom dies, and she prays to the gods. And it appears Storm goes back to her land to find another god being worshipped, and a hammer from Asgard shows up, and that's where Stormbreaker is. The Negative Zone Saga, where a mutant they have imprisoned is freed, and his people raise a god in the Negative Zone. They manage to imprison him, but he gets revenge later. A overarching story of Lydia Nance, who wants to kill all mutants with the legacy virus that Colossal has dormant in his system. They defeat her and her sentinel. Mesmero gets X-Men locked up in a prison and possesses Rachel, but they defeat him. An Excalibur annual with Megan and Captain Britain's daughter. And there's another annual with Kitty at summer camp. We then have the 5 out of 5, which is X-Men Gold, number 30. Magic confronts Kitty about the marriage. She almost didn't want them to get married for some reason. An alter Kitty phases when the ring goes on and they call a wedding, but Gambit proposes to Rogue on the spot and they get married. It was a tearjerker. This was a really good issue. It's like flipping the wedding situation where Kitty's gonna put the ring on, or actually Colossus is putting the ring on Kitty, if I remember correctly, and she phases so the ring never goes on her, and then they don't get married, and it's like holy crap. And then it switches to, hey, we're all here. Everybody's here for this wedding. They're not getting married, so Gambit proposes to Rogue, which kind of led from that Rose Gambit miniseries into this, and then later into the Classified X title, which was Mr. and Mrs. X. And I really enjoyed it. It was a really good emotional tearjerker. So I at least to me it was. Your mileage may vary. We then get into the week of September 10th, 2018 through September 16th, 2018. A total of 24 comics. It was a Geek Brunch week that week. We had Scout Comics 1, Marvel 1, Heavy Metal 1, Dynamite 1, DC 18, Boom 1, Aftershock 1. We'll start at the bottom, 3 out of 5, Relay Number 0. It's a free comic book day book. A human lands in a field of natives, and he teaches the natives how to plant and grow their environment. He later kills the native leader. It's not set up stuff well with the Relay premise. It was a real. It wasn't motivating me to go read Relay One. So that was the free comic book day. Can't get too angry at it. It was free. 4 out of 5. Nancy Drew, number one, saves a goat mascot from a jealous human mascot, and then gets a mysterious letter from someone who knows about the death of her mom, and she heads back home to her original home and solicits help from her friends and the Hardy Boys. As she goes into a cave, the rope is cut and she is falling. And that's kind of the cliffhanger that Nancy Drew ended on. We then get to a Zenoscope book, which I forgot to total, which I'm going to add now. So it's really 25 books. Oh, one. And that's a total of 25 instead of 24. Paradise Court. This is a college students go to a strange gated community in New Mexico. There is a missing girl while they're there, and some really strange people. The main female goes into a cave and finds skeletons of people as she follows one of the strange, creepy members of that community, that gated community, into the cave. But they're looking for a missing girl, and they think she might be in the cave. And everybody kind of separated to go search for her, even though they're there just passing through to visit a friend. Really good horror story premise, very much in the vein of your typical horror story, but it's a lot of fun to read these, in my opinion. But I like horror movies. We got Tarna, who's that heavy metal girl that's on the cover of Heavy Metal magazine. She got her own comic book of heavy metal. The heavy metal woman lands on a planet naked. Her and two kids are recruited into a military force to protect a dome. They are hypnotized and then go to fight a war, where the girl gets her arm cut off and Tarna defends her and finds out they are not only fighting demons, but boys in demon masks. Absolutely beautiful artwork. Very cool premise. I don't think I ever got two, but I got three and I ordered the trade because I don't think it's ever going to finish. But maybe the trade will come out and I'll actually get the rest of the story. So I hate when they do that. I think Vault's doing that with like three of their titles, where they canceled. I got from DCBS cancellations of the single individual items, and then they're coming out with trades. Kind of pisses me off as a monthly comic book reader. And if it keeps up, I might not be buying Vault. That maybe they condition me just to just wait for the trade, because that's what. I don't want to double dip on them, that's for sure. And then to finish the story just to get one issue, that sucks. Or two issues in the case of some of these. This was probably around the time I got my DC Universe subscription, because I rated Doom Patrol number 19 and 20. These are the Grant Morrison issues that were available on that app. And I started reading it. Grant, and they only had these two issues that first week. I think they've added some more in the meantime. But Grant Morrison has Robot Man in a hospital trying to cope with the death of his team. He meets Crazy Jane, and they deal with the Scissor Men. Magnus is trying to help Robot Man as well. That's when I say Magnus, that's the Dr. Magnus, who's the creator of the Metal Men. Negative Man becomes Rebus. Celsius does not believe Niles is dead, so she goes to recruit Robot Man to look for him, and they run into Joshua Tempest. So Celsius and Joshua Tempest are around the time of the Doom Patrol, and the new Doom Patrol started. Celsius was, I think, the wife of Niles Calder. And Joshua Tempest was a character that was also in it. So they were around the when the showcase said Showcase presents Doom Patrol, and it had the new Doom Patrol. This was that team had Tempest and Celsius in it. We then get into an X-Men Blue. This was my attempt, which I still haven't finished yet, by the way, to get caught up on X-Men Blue. Magneto built a machine to take the kids back, and Charles Xavier is in Magneto's mind, and the kids go to the universe where the X-Men 2099 are. So that was X-Men Blue number 16. We then get into New Age of Heroes from DC Comics, Sideways 2 through 7. Sideways is hunted down by an alien who tries to protect the multiverse and blames his rifting for causing the issues. He is injured and goes to the hospital. That's Sideways. Sideways is injured and goes to the hospital. The hospital is attacked by a character called Killspeed, who is a character who's affected by the lightning event in Keystone City. She has a form of cancer, and this hospital refused to treat her when she lost insurance. So Sideways rips her arm off and defeats her. He then deals with a replicant in Metropolis who can replicate powers and is able to defeat him by causing him to touch himself. That sounds nasty. With the rift powers. So he touches Sideways, which gives him the rift powers, and he rifts and explodes himself, essentially. So you're not supposed to touch yourself. He finds Showman, which is another new character who feeds off of the crowd's negativity, like social media. He's an interesting character. Sideways takes out the rifting him to the desert. So he rifts him to the desert in the middle of nowhere so he can't feed off of people's social media negativity. He ends up becoming friends with Tempest Fugnaught. He's that character that tried to kill him originally. His mom tries to get him a job at her work. Her work finds out her son is sideways and they want his abilities. The mom finds out and is about it and is actually murdered because of it. We then get into Terrifics 2 through 7, the last 4 out of 5, where the team heads out into space to try and visit Phantom Girl's home. She is reunited with her family. They deal with a garbage planet, a town that was taken over by an evil Metamorpho, and the Orb of Ra. So that's like a comma. One issue dealt with a garbage planet on their way. They dealt with a town taken over by an evil Metamorpho in the Orb of Ra. Plastic Man wants to reunite with his girlfriend. Mr. Terrific relives losing his wife, and the team goes on to take a villain who is trying to kill Tom Strong. Really cool. We then get into the 5 out of 5s, New Challengers 1 through 4, a new concept where the borrowed time is really a timer. Where if they are away from Challenger Mountain long enough, they will die. It introduces 4 new members as the originals appear to be killed by a dark professor. They have an adventure in Atlantis and Skitaris, which is Warlord's world, Aquaman's world, obviously. And one of the members was in the Dingbats. So if you remember, Kirby had a one what was it called? What issue one special? Featuring the Dingbats. Those were like introducing concepts. First issue special is what it's called. And the Dingbats were in that. A very interesting concept and story. And it also has a Sergeant Rock cameo as a toy and had some fantastic backstories. We have Black Bridge number 1. As a 5 out of 5 from Boom Studios, Super Boy Scouts as spies as they go behind enemy lines in North Korea to assist in destroying an enemy bunker by shining the laser on it. So basically, an airplane can see the target that the laser is shining on and blow it up, and they blow it up. It's a great characterization of the 4 Black Badge members, and the paper quality and cover stock is absolutely fantastic. We then get into the 5 out of 5 that blew my mind. Oblivion, spelled OBLIV18N. Number 1. A high school girl wants to go to prom with her 21-year-old boyfriend, and her parents will not allow it. She goes to his place and finds out he is fucking another woman. Upset, she leaves and hits a man. with her car. She goes for help at a gas station, and two guys are robbing it when she gets there. When a car crashes into the gas station and kills one of them, it's absolute chaos. It appears to be the rapture is taking place, where actually people are being raptured and going to heaven and leaving the people that don't deserve to go to heaven behind. That's what it appeared to be. It's like a rapture type event. And then finally, this week sucked. This was September 17th, 2018, to September 23rd, 2018. We'll start at the bottom. There were a total of three comics only. We had one Marvel, one Charlton, one Atlas. This is a weird week, and I hope I didn't forget to put anything, because three is an abnormally low amount of comics. We have Avengers Volume 1, number 59, which is the first appearance of Yellowjacket. At this point, you don't know if it's Hank Pym, and he says he's killed Hank and wants to take his place in the Avengers. See, in this story, you don't know it's Hank Pym, but we all know it is. And he actually admitted to murdering Hank Pym. He kidnaps Wasp, and now she wants to marry him. It's a very strange issue because of like forced kisses and stuff like that, which is almost like rape type things. And then Wasp actually falls in love with him, which is weird because he's being very forceful to her, and she liked it. Very weird for a Silver Age comic. Avengers number 59, the first appearance of Yellowjacket. We then have Bionic Woman number 1, Volume 1. This is from Charlton Comics. Jamie is trying to protect a mother and her son from a grandfather who is trying to kidnap the boy. Kind of like a Kindergarten Cop comic book. Maybe the writer of this read the Charlton comic, the Kindergarten Cop. I took a note on that. The second story is where OSI has to turn off Jamie's powers, and she has to go on an airplane to protect a person who is going to get assassinated for basically going to court and what do they call that when you do that? You rat out somebody else and get your sentence reduced. That's what she's trying to protect this dude. We then get Fear Number 1, featuring the son of Dracula. This is from Atlas Comics. This was my attempt to complete my Atlas comics. Dracula saves a girl being burned as a witch. She is the cu his cousin. This is weird. I remember this now. And he is going to make her one of the undead until she proposes to carry his child. So this is like incest right there. He agrees, but when the baby is born, she steals the child and sends him with a woman to America. The woman raises him and wears a locket to protect him with soil in from Transylvania, and sleeps with a cross over his chest every night. Dracula finds him as a child, but he escapes his grasp. As an adult, this kid teaches occult studies at a university, and a girl breaks into his apartment to kiss him and removes the cross that he keeps on his chest, and he vamps out and drains her blood. He also kills her friend who was outside. They would rob professors and people in these apartments. The girls would steal from the apartments to pay for their tuition. Now he is now confused and does not know what he should do. And there's only one issue. So it doesn't tell you where it's going, but it was a fucking awesome premise. I gave that a 4 out of 5. So again, I want to thank you for listening. Matter of fact, next issue, next episode, I'll be talking about Mr. Miracle number 7 through 11, which is kind of appropriate. But I gave those a 3 out of 5 too. It's kind of harsh of a 3 out of 5 because I think I'll always remember this series as the title that never ended. Like, it never had an ending. And if I remember something, you think you'd give it a better grade, but give it a 3 out of 5. So I want to thank you for listening. I'm glad you came back to listen after the holidays. You can reach me at at Mike Myers Brunch on the Twitter machines. And on Facebook, there is a group called Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in between. And you can click the like button and follow all the episode threads there from Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner. I already got a new guest lined up for Collector's Corner. So that show will be coming. It might come out in December, but it may be in the new year when I start kicking that show back up into gear. Geek Brunch Retrocast. And you could send me questions at all time, anytime. If you read Mr. Miracle and have a different interpretation of how I should be taking that, I would be very interested to see how your mind tried to interpret issue number 12. Let me know what you think. I think it's open-ended, so it could be nobody's going to be wrong. But that's just the way I interpret it. Be really curious how you did. So let me know. If you have questions at any time, you could send it to mike@comicbooknoise.com. Or at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I hope it was not stressful. I hope you enjoyed time with your families. I hope you're all healthy. And I hope you had a lot to give thanks for, because being alive and reading comics and just living is just, it's a miracle in itself sometimes. Just sit back and look at what you could do. And, you could pretty much, if you work hard, you could do whatever you want. I mean, might take a long time to get there, but I've always thought you could do what you want. It helps if you have money, but if you gear yourself to something that can make you money and then do what you want, well, that's kind of what I did. I went into something I sort of liked, worked hard at it, got some money, and then could buy all these comics. So I get to live a life of a library mentality, which a lot of you probably will never understand. Because a library mentality means that you have your own library, you can read when you want. A lot of people have budgets where they can read so many comics, and I could see if I was fixed on let's say I could only get like 10 comics a month, I think I would be more critical and not as optimistic of enjoying. Like, you rarely see me get a 2 out of 5 out of anything, because I try to look at the goodness of everything. But I think if it's an interesting thing, but if I ever were to reduce to 10 books a month, I think I would be more critical of what I was reading and turn into something that I don't want to be. Because if I only read 10 and those were the 10 and I knew I couldn't go beyond that, it would be tough, because I definitely would be more critical of what I was reading, I'm sure. But let me know what you think. And I hope to get podcasts out, but with the Christmas break coming up, I should have like 3 weeks straight of podcasts, Mike M's coming up. I'll probably be caught up pretty soon with my weekly schedule, and then slightly fall back a little bit around Christmas time because of the holidays. And but maybe I'll try to record some stuff in advance so it doesn't seem like I have like a whole week gap. But thank you for listening, and check out Titans, man. That's a good Elseworld type story of the Jason Todd kind of blew me away. Like, well, first the Doom Patrol episode was fucking awesome. But then they introduced Jason Todd, and that actor just seemed spot on for Jason Todd. And I know this is like an Elseworld type thing, but man, it just really clicked with me. The last episode was pretty doggone dark as our heroes got captured, but it was my least favorite of the bunch. So hopefully the this Friday, actually tomorrow, the episode will pick up for me again, and I can get back to where I was on enjoying Titans. And I did finish The Adventures of Superman, or whatever that documentary was. I thought it was phenomenal. I talked about it a little bit on Geek Brunch, but it's just a cool documentary. And there's a Batman one on there I'll probably start at some point, probably over the holidays when I have a little more time to. These week vacations, man, they don't really seem like a week. I went to the 21 Pilots concert on Monday, so I had that, and we spent the night in Denver. So we went to that 20. Oh, that concert was freaking. It was amazing. Like, probably one of the best performance concert things you could go to. And it's like everybody knew the words. I didn't even know all the words. And I listened to 21 Pilots like 90% of the time when I can't get a signal at work. I just listened to all four of their albums I have, so they're all on my head, but I never. He hits some high notes in this new album, and I could never understand what he was saying. I had to go Google the lyrics. But it was a really good show. Nick Frost opened up, I think that's his name. He was very good, but it was very odd because he's a solo dude that programs everything. So he'll like start a beat in a live concert. He'll start the drum beat and then he adds the guitar and then he does, he'll add all this stuff and then the computer takes over from there and he's singing along with it. Very unusual to see it live. But there was one or two songs I recognized, so I liked it. And then we had AWOL Nation, and I don't know if my wife is so much a fan of AWOL Nation or 21 Pilots, but she knew I really wanted to see him, and I really do like AWOL Nation. So when they came on, when he first came on, his voice wasn't able to keep up. Like, maybe it's because of the altitude or because of technology, they didn't amp up his mic as much as they should have. So the instrumentation was overwhelming, but I think by the second or third song, they finally got it right. And then you heard everything, at the volumes that you should hear. And I really, really enjoyed AWOL Nation. I think the altitude got to him though. He kind of ran off stage after that and was probably like sucking on oxygen. And then 21 Pilots came, and I didn't know what to expect because it's only two of them, and I was fucking blown away, man. I was their performance, there is so good. They're kind of it. I will go see them again. Just be as soon as tickets go on sale for another album, I'm going. Or even if another album is not out and they're coming through Denver again, I am going. I just absolutely love this concert. And I saw things that I don't think I've ever seen before, and it was very strange. Like, they actually stood on the audience. Like, they held them up and they were standing. What they put a set of drums as the audience was holding up the drum set. I mean, it's fucking incredible. And then he would like do these weird things where it was obviously a double of him because there's no way he could have made it, but he like would appear in the middle of the crowd somewhere and start singing. Like he would fall backwards on the stage and then all of a sudden be over there. And then they use the entire Pepsi Center as a stage because they came to the middle, so the people on the floor actually switched to the other side. It just moved all over the place, so and we had such good seats. Oh man, it was just fantastic. The only thing is I can't get that song Jumpsuit out of my head. It's in my head like 24/7. It's like a subliminal message. And then that the song Chlorine now, the new song Chlorine. God, that's an addictive song. But it's so good. So, we did that 21 Pilots concert, and then we spent the night in Denver, so we didn't have to drive back. So it was pretty relaxed. We ate breakfast at the diner we always eat at, which was featured on the Food Network. And then we drove, came back home, and drove. I had to pick up some comic boxes at the UPS, not boxes, but the Mylars that are shipped to me at the post office. And then we hopped in the car and we drove to Raton, New Mexico. And usually we just drive straight to Albuquerque, but Barbara and me said, "Hey, why don't we just spend the night in Raton? We never spent the night here before." So we did, and we just picked a restaurant that night, and it was a barbecue place, and it had like seven barbecues types of sauces, and I don't remember the place, but it was pretty doggone good. Like I never think of like having barbecue other than Bird Dog, because Bird Dog to me is the best barbecue place you could ever have, and they still are the best after trying this place. But this place was so different that I actually enjoyed it. Like it was a really good a hot link. I'm a hot link fan, and the brisket was good, and the fries were like Five Guys, and I've always loved Five Guys fries, so it was just a really good meal. Had a good breakfast in the morning, and then drove to Albuquerque and had a great Thanksgiving. Had a great Friday, and that's when things just took a turn for the worse with this gout. And I be kind of became a bummer, probably for Barb, because I am such a baby. I just whine when I'm in pain. Like Barb, when she's in pain, she's stoic, man. She doesn't let you see pain. She's like that football player, like P work through it, work through the pain. Me, I'm like a big fucking baby. I was like, ah, it hurts, it hurts. I can't move. I just want to cry. But yeah, it was a good break, but man, it was fast. And I thought that I would get like this burst of energy coming back to work, and it really didn't feel like I got any rest, like for having a week break. It didn't seem like it, and it always seems like that, especially when it's not a vacation, when it's like going back home. Sometimes when we go on vacations, we always like put like buffers at the end, so we have a couple days to decompress, and didn't have that this time, but I wish I did. Well, that was enough rambling. I hope you guys had a good one. I hope you read lots of comics. Have a good one, and thank you for all the questions. I really appreciate them. So have a good one. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.